This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Where you can watch the show every single day for all 3 hours. You can also watch our show on demand in the pieces that we cut up and post. You can leave comments on them. You can also do the same on the pieces part. We don't stream live on my YouTube page, but the highlights are there at Craig Hoffman. Full episodes of Take Command are at the Team 980 and at 106.7 The Fan. And all that commenting that you guys do on the digital video side. And I've started to include, by the way, some more of our social media comments as well in this segment. Winds up in...
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
So that's how it goes. Whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's YouTube, most of these from YouTube. We've got a couple TikToks in there. Today, we take your comments, we read them, we react here on The Hoffman Show. So with that said, Anthony, are you ready to go on this here edition of Never Read the Comments?
Yes, sir.
So you know, like we always start with, an amuse-bouche. Just something a little different, something a little off the wall before we dive into the substance of everything. At Jason Marr 8 commented on the most recent episode of, or I guess what was at the time the most recent episode of Take Command. Our Eagles preview, I think, is up now. But he goes, "What's up, boys? Go Commanders. I had a dream last night. Logan broke into my house. Blank was wild."
You said Logan?
Yeah. Broke into his house. I kind of want to call Logan and read him that comment.
That is a little concerning.
Yeah, I don't know what other, like, were you watching a crime TV show listening to Take Command before bed? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a little spooky. I mean, Halloween season did just conclude, so I don't know.
I feel like Logan could pull off a pretty scary Halloween costume if he wanted to. He's a big bearded man.
Yeah, I think he could also pull off dressing up as Michael Myers. He has the build and like stature. Pretty tall guy.
He's all 6'5 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking as we were walking out of the stadium on Sunday. And he's like, "Yeah, walking around here, just, you know, getting a lot of these crowds and it's hard to get anywhere." I'm like, "Yeah, this is the place you're most famous on the planet and you're not exactly someone who blends in." He's like, "Yeah." And then like half the time he's walking with Smoot and Santana and B. Mitch, and those dudes are getting flagged by everyone. That's like, "Oh, the big white guy, that's Logan, right?" So that's where we start today. "What's up, boys? Go Commanders. I had a dream last night. Logan broke into my house." Jason, keep sharing your dreams, and I hope you have better dreams. All right, let's dive into the football of it all. We emptied the Steelers notebook in our first and 10 segment, Steelers Commanders, first and 10 on Monday. And one of my least favorite commenters, Brandon Crittenden, 39-39. I don't know why I keep giving him attention, Anthony. He just consistently is bad. Some people, if you just leave consistently bad comments, I'm eventually just going to mute you. So, you know, Brandon might be unnoticed, but for now he's making the segment because I thought I want to answer his question. I want to respond to his criticism.
Is he getting an asterisk next to his name?
Yeah, kind of, for our tier rankings. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I asked the question in our first and 10, like, how much different is the game really if Ertz is credited with the first down, they kick a game-winning field goal? Like, obviously, it's enormously different in the standings. The win is everything at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how you get it. Beg, borrow, cheat, steal. Get the dub. Get out of town. Cool. Or at this point, you know, protect home turf. Cool. You're 8-2. You're in first place. Going to Philly. Everyone feels better. All that stuff is true. But he goes, how much different? What are you talking about, man? You're the moral victory king. Here's the thing. Some of y'all just want, if they win, everybody's awesome. Jaden's the MVP. Dan's coach of the year. Adam's executive of the year. Everybody's the greatest. Give them all raises and lifetime contracts. And if they lose, then everybody sucks. Everybody needs to get fired. And there is no nuance or room for analysis. But the thing is, I realize that is a very small portion of the fan base. And if you want to be obtuse enough to out yourself as one of those people on the internet, that's fine. We'll highlight you and call you out and everyone can laugh at you because it's a very silly thing. Because here's the other part of this. It's not that the win or loss doesn't matter. It's just that when we evaluate the game itself and we say this was good or this was bad, that doesn't change based off of the end result. Someone can make a good play in a blowout loss. It doesn't mean it meant anything significantly, but the play itself, which is the way that you break down film, which is what we were doing in the video that this comment was left on, or as we evaluate the performance, which is what we were doing in the video this comment was left on, like, hey, so-and-so did some good things. So-and-so did some bad things. This was heinously bad. This was ridiculously good. I wish they did more of it. None of that is described as moral wins or losses. It's just good or bad. The thing itself exists in a way that is good or bad. And being able to say that out loud doesn't mean that I am the moral victory king. I'm not like, and because of that, they should feel good about losing. No, it's like, hey, so-and-so did a, let me try to think of someone who did a particularly good job. It's kind of hard in that. Terry McLaurin. Terry had an awesome game against Pittsburgh. He should feel good about that if he wants to. But at the end of the day, they lost. So Terry can still have had a good game without being like, and Terry, he should not feel like a loser today. No, he's a part of the team that lost. He, whatever feeling like a loser is to Terry, he's going to feel that. So you and your moral victory nonsense, bye-bye. See ya. You have the asterisk from the tier rankings. Remind me of that and next time I get annoyed by one of his comments, Anthony.
I got you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next up, Dion Wells, 2859, responding to our talk about complimentary football. And he said, well, it's the defense's job to get off the field also, and allowing a team over 50% on third down falls on them, not the offense. Here's the thing. It's almost like we have extensive evidence that the two are related. That perhaps if the offense can sustain drives and the defense is fresher and has to face less possessions, there's a better chance that they perform better on third downs, which are late in drives. And if you are tired, it's probably harder to play that third down better. And perhaps if you were fresher, you would play first and second down better and not have as difficult of a task on third down. We know this based off of the 104, 105 year history of the NFL. Like, we know that's how this works, that complementary football is a thing. We know it based off human physiology and sight and, you know, it's like sports science. Fatigue is real. And so if you are well rested, you will perform better. And so, yes, ultimately is the defense's job to do the defense's job, but to pretend like the defense wasn't affected by the offensive not holding up their end of the bargain on Sunday is, I think, inaccurate analysis. And again, it's not about moral wins or moral victories or whatever. It's just it's analysis. It's evaluating what happened. And the reality is the offense really let the defense down on Sunday in a way that they really haven't all season long. Continuing on Never Read the Comments here on The Hoffman Show, where we, you know, read the comments. Our pal Mitch Tischler was with us yesterday, and we talked about both the offensive line and we got into the defensive backs as well. So we'll get to the Benjamin St. Juice of it all in just a moment. But Joseph Boone, J2T, he brought up a point, Ant, that I wanna touch on because I talked about how I didn't think Brandon Coleman played particularly well. And he goes, Brandon Coleman was not bad against Pittsburgh. Stop it. How bad was the receivers for dropping easy passes? If Zach Ertz caught that slant route and got a first down, it would have been over for Pittsburgh scored before Pittsburgh scored their last TD. One, not necessarily. That would not have sealed the game, the Zach Ertz drop there in the second half. But more importantly, on the Brandon Coleman front, like, I understand on television that the only thing they show is the ball. The game is more than the ball. And this is what kind of, I think, irritates me sometimes, and it goes into the St. Juice stuff as well, is, yes, when the ball is thrown at St. Juice, I am not going to for a second argue that that is a good thing for Washington. He's giving up over 100 passer rating. He's giving up a bunch of yards. Like, not good. But there's a bunch of snaps within games where, you know, he's doing a lockdown job. That is the nature of cornerback. It's the nature of defense. You can have a really bad game where you play well on 90% of the snaps, but if those 10% are really bad, like, yikes. You know, defense is hard. You have to be... The level, the threshold is really, really high. And obviously, like, Juice has not met that in a number of games this season. There's a bunch of others where he has, and they have been one of the best pass defenses in the league the last 6 weeks, and he was on the field for that. So, like, both things can exist. But in terms of Coleman, it's like, oh, the receivers dropped the ball. That's what happened. It's like, one, multiple bad things can happen. Two, just because you saw the receiver drop the ball doesn't mean that the offensive lineman that you weren't paying attention to didn't also have a bad day. People tend to watch the ball, which means if they don't give up 7 sacks, they think the offensive line had a good day. But how many of those balls were just a little bit off? And I'm not saying the receiver shouldn't have caught them, but they're a little bit off. They're a little bit behind. They're a little bit hot. They're a little bit ahead. A lot. A lot. Way more than Jaden is typically throwing. And you want to know why?
Because the offensive line gave up pressure. Because he was under attack and under duress. Because he was sped up. Because guys like Brandon Coleman were getting bowled over, falling on their butts, thanks to Alex Highsmith, on a fairly regular basis.
The game is more than the ball. There's a reason that coaches say we gotta watch the tape. And I think sometimes that can be an excuse. I hear you. Sometimes it's like, I don't need to watch the tape. Like, we saw what happened. Okay, fine. I didn't need to watch the tape of the St. Juice play. 3rd and 9 at the end. I saw it on the replays. He was flat-footed. Bang, bang. Party's over. Nothing else to see there. But, like, we don't spend all this time watching the tape because it's useless. And the professionals who get paid millions of dollars and want to keep those million-dollar jobs to do this, don't spend all the time watching the tape because it's useless. And so I just think that we have to accept that the game is more than we see on TV. It's more than the ball, and multiple bad things or good things can happen. Nothing is 100% anybody's fault in a 150 snap football game where 22 guys are on the field at all times. Steps off high horse. Steps off soapbox.
No, I think you made a lot of good facts. I think both things can be true. But if we're being honest, I think Jaden Daniels also, you know, helped his lineman out. And I think that's the good thing about, you know, having a guy that's mobile. I think if this is Sam Howell, you know, probably would have had more sacks. But
dude, if Sam Howell was playing in that game against Pittsburgh, like, we're literally talking about a 9-sack day.
Yeah, it would have been a super long day. But Jaden Daniels' mobility does help those guys out. And first play that comes to mind is Coleman gets beat like a drum by Highsmith. Jaden steps up, bounces out, and then tries to, you know, squeeze one into Luke McCaffrey on the sideline. That's a play made by Jaden Daniels. And, you know, Brandon Coleman ends up getting beat. So,
and then everyone's mad at Luke for the drop, even though the ball is a little bit behind him. Which, like, Luke should have caught that ball.
Yeah.
It also could have been a better ball ahead of Jaden, or ahead of Luke instead of behind him, which is something Jaden has basically not done this year. And it all starts, to your point, because Coleman loses. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, and that's just one play, right? What if Jaden is not hurried on the big play from his own end zone to Luke?
Yep.
Like, Jaden hits that throw all the time. He's a little bit rushed. He throws it it's too line drivey. There's not enough air on it. Like, again, two plays that just show exactly what we're talking about. Yep. Here. So, yeah, that's that. On the Benjamin St. Juice front, Scriva 85. You can't say he's their best corner and he's good and then ask why he's in that position. And I'm like, yeah, I can. Because he's the best that they've got. That doesn't mean that he's actually good at corner. Like good, great, above average, any of those. He's average. And so the fact that the best they have is average is a reflection of how they decided to build this roster, the trust they have in their staff. And Usain Ristil is ascending. Igbinoghene is like pretty average as well. Like they're all kind of in the same bucket consistently. Like who has the highest percentage of good snaps? St. Juice. Whose percentage of bad snaps are catastrophically bad? Also St. Juice, which makes him really confounding. But the thing is, he's also, you know, I said I would have probably not put him in that man-to-man position in that spot. I would have tried to have more safety help over the top, and Mitch and I talked about that. And it's kind of like saying that, hey, he's a good zone corner. He's good at playing cover two, playing the flat, being underneath a receiver with safety help over the top. Like, he can play that role really well. You don't say, like, oh, that's my best teacher. Well, okay, what does he teach? Math. Okay, cool. I want him to teach English today. And then, or let's flip it around. What does he teach? English. Well, I want him to teach math today. And then you don't get mad at him for messing up the Pythagorean theorem. Like, he's an English teacher. Of course he messed up the Pythagorean theorem. Anthony, pop quiz. What's the Pythagorean theorem?
A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
That is correct. And what is C squared? What are we measuring?
You said, what are we...
What are we measuring?
The longest side.
Yeah, the hypotenuse.
Yeah, the hypotenuse.
See, in a right triangle.
I don't remember all the
This
the
is
words.
Literally the only thing I remember from geometry. I almost said geology or geography. Those were, I couldn't even remember the subject matter. But I had you fooled for a second to think I'm a big old nerd.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I kind of am a big old nerd, but that's really all I remember is that it's a right triangle. It's the fancy term is the hypotenuse, and it's A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
Yeah.
And you want to know who shouldn't be teaching you about that?
You?
Correct. That is correct. Also, an English teacher.
Yes.
And so if Benjamin St. Juice is an English teacher, let's have him teach English. That's kind of what I was saying, the zone versus the man and the whole deal. William Davis, and then we get into like some specific criticism. Again, I've been critical of St. Juice. The problem is, I think for a lot of commenters, and we have someone call yesterday and try to, you know, be a troll or whatever, like, it's not that you can't criticize him, it's that your criticism is very, very silly, such as this. William Davis, 88-55. Bruh, one interception in 4 years. St. Juice is our veteran corner, not our best. The others are rookies. One, Igbinoghene is not a rookie. By the way, Chigozie Anuzium got signed off their practice squad today to the Browns. Kind of low-key hate that. Wish they had elevated him because I think he's got some potential. But whatever. Cut Forbes, whatever. But back to William's comment. He goes, we need dogs. DQ said it. Lattimore says he is a dog. Terry is a dog. We need dogs, Mr. Hoffman. One, William, you can just call me Craig. It's fine. You don't need full Mr. Hoffman. Two, BSJ is a dog. Watch him play. Watch how physical he is. Watch the way he competes down in, down out. The problem is it's like a fighter who's willing to take on any fight, and then he gets punched in the face sometimes. He loses. He's a dog with no ball skills. Like, that is the problem. It's not the attitude. It's not the effort. It's literally the thing, one of the elements of his job he is extraordinarily bad at. And that has been true since college. He didn't have any picks in college either. I had a TikTok comment that was like, you can take the player out of Minnesota, but you can't take the Minnesota out of the player. And I thought that was very funny. Then you got stuff like this. Buddy Love on TikTok. He'd be a great special teams player. No disrespect to special teams, but this dude has zero ball skills and is a walking PI. The last part of this, yes, he has been a walking PI, zero ball skills. But part of the reason that he has had trouble this year is because he lacks top-end speed. Anthony, what is the number one thing you'd want for, say, a gunner on special teams?
Some speed.
So you're saying that Benjamin St. Juice is probably not a guy who needs to play special teams?
Pretty much.
What? By the way, do you need speed and ball skills to be a safety?
A little bit.
Yeah. So why are people saying he needs to switch to safety?
I don't know. Maybe they're slower than DBs. I mean, they're slower than corners. I don't know.
I thought first you were saying the commenters, are slower than DBs, and that was funny. That was funny. You were saying the safeties. Yeah, safeties don't need to have quite as much speed, but the best ones certainly do. And you need to have ball skills for sure, because you're last man back. And also, he's lanky and kind of thinner body type. Not exactly the guy I want fitting runs in the middle of the field, although he does a good job of setting the edge and actually has become a pretty darn good run player. And then we had another one that was like, oh, he's a nickel. He's certainly not a CB1 or CB2. Nickel is an alignment, not a place on the depth chart. What? Again, I love the comments, but you don't have to.
I will say this to defend whoever just commented. On our initial, depth chart, we did have nickel position. Mikey Samer still, I think.
Yeah, no, we had Samer still as the nickel, not St. Juice.
Oh, yeah, not St. Juice. Okay.
Yeah. He can be your third outside corner. That does not make him a nickel.
Yeah.
A nickel is the guy that plays inside. Mm-hmm. And St. Juice actually played some nickel earlier in his career. He was okay at it. Probably better suited outside. Certainly body type, much more traditionally outside. Because, again, I don't necessarily want him playing the run. Let's see. What else do we got? This one I thought was funny. You know, we were talking in our meeting earlier. We had a meeting with our boss today, which is always fun. And it's okay. It's a regular meeting. We're not in trouble. But we were trying to figure out, like, who is BSJ? Like, what are some other guys that are like BSJ? I don't know if I like this, but I did find it funny. I like it. I don't know if it's accurate. I'll put it that way. Landis Mikashine, whatever your screen name is, 6492. In my opinion, BSJ is the Rex Grossman of corners. Just like Rex will guarantee you at least 2 picks a game, BSJ will give you at least 2 PIs a game. Maybe just one on a good day. He has his moments every once in a while, but he's frustrating to watch because he's too inconsistent. He seems to panic whenever he's getting beat on a route by the receiver, and he frequently risks getting a PI called on him. The more I think about it, the more I like it, Anthony.
I love it as well, but Rex Grossman also went to a Super Bowl. Granted, it might not have been him taking the team.
He went to the Super Bowl with
the
Bears.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like, Devin Hester kick returns was more potent than that Rex Grossman
offense.
And
that defense, too.
But, like, that's, like, Rex, pretty good most of the time. And then you're like, guy, why did you do that? And that is exactly the experience of watching Benjamin St. Juice. Really good most of the time. And then you're just like, but I just started to believe in you again. And then the bad thing happens. So the Rex Grossman of DBs. I kind of like that. I kind of like it. Last but not least, a couple of quick ones here. Actually, we don't even have time because we got Ross Tucker coming up. But we did have someone say, Craig, please make, in response to me getting petty about Shane and Oxon Hill again last week, Craig, please make this an in-season segment, Petty Time with Craig. Should we just lean all the way in, Anthony?
Maybe for one of our comments in the comment section, I think we should save a space for one.
Okay, I think that's good. So just have to come back to Never Read the Comments next week. Normally Thursdays at 5:30. Obviously today a little bit different with the game tomorrow. Appreciate y'all commenting at Craig Hoffman at the Team 980 on YouTube. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Ross Tucker joins us talking Eagles, Commanders, Thursday Night Football.